Welcome back to School Spirit here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew with my lovely wife, Anne-Marie. Hi.
Hello, I'm happy to be here with everybody.
I'm glad you're back. We are continuing our conversation with the Smart Families team, Miss Sally Waterfield and Miss Hillary Canceres. We are kind of winding down our discussion about the community norms and we've talked about the three previous ones in our other weeks, and so this week we're going to pick up with the fourth of their four norms: no phones in schools.
Well, that's an easy one.
Well, you would think that in the state
Pass law here in Texas. I don't know about nationwide
of
what the laws are, but
you would think this would be pretty easy and pretty self-explanatory. I'm afraid if last week's episode was any indication, we may all be a little bit shocked here. So,
I just want to add that yesterday when I was driving, when kids were standing at the bus stop at the end of our street, every kid that I saw walking to the bus stop was looking down at their cell phone on the as they were walking to the bus stop or standing looking at their phone at the bus stop. And it occurred to me that they're all going to a public school in Texas where they're not supposed to have cell phones. So how what's happening once they get to the school with that cell phone? Are they having to lock it in a lock box, or are they just on the honor system that they're not utilizing their cell phone in that space?
Well, that's a good question. I'm happy to help answer it. Does that work? All right.
Right
So
ahead.
I
That'd be
think
great.
what's nice for parents to understand with this law that was passed here in Texas, and I think it's a total of 38 states across the country that have also stepped in and administered the same regulation. It's bell to bell. We'll make that the first start. So it's bell to bell. So after school sports programs or any other clubs, children are allowed on their phones. But it is up to the school to figure out what is the best way to manage this. So some schools have implemented pouches that each phone goes into and is locked. Some schools do an honor system where the children need to leave the phones in the lockers. And some have bins right when you walk in, and they're checked in the front office or checked in a home room. And so each school is going to look very different. But in regards to what that means during the day, I have this absolutely beautiful story that I would love to just share so parents understand why there's such beauty in making sure that children are present. And I'm not talking what you would think common sense. They need to be learning. I mean, they are there to learn. They don't need to learn what's on their phone. They can do that any other time in the day. These children there to learn from a teacher, a human being. But let's just envision a girl who is 16 and she's walking from her class to the bathroom. And in many places, it was allowed for students to use their phone. And in some schools, it still is, even here in the state of Texas, where it is still happening. But they pick up their phone and they walk from their class to the bathroom. And they first check their phone to see what the weather looks like because they have a softball game later that day. And they text their mom, "Hey, mom, looks like the game is still on. The storm has passed." Then they go ahead and they look at their math test because they're really struggling in math. They took a test, yesterday, and she knows that it's probably listed on their, RenWeb or whatever, program they're using, and she wants to see what she got. Then afterwards, she does something fun. She goes on Instagram. She has this adorable crush. She checks out his page, wants to see if he's posted anything, and do the typical crush type thing that, a teenager would do. Goes to the bathroom, sort of preoccupied, and then makes her way back to the classroom. And that feels fine. There's absolutely like nothing wrong. And that's probably incredibly very common. But what this child is going to miss out on is walking past her math teacher and not making eyesight with him or her, which makes that teacher feel, wow, this student knows me and cares about my subject. and then walks by her crush. So versus saying hi to him and actually seeing him in person, she's too busy looking at him on Instagram. And then fast forward, she's in the restroom and doesn't notice another female friend in need of some help who might be upset about something. So while life is happening around teenagers at school, if their heads are not up and looking at the world around them, they are not experiencing it the way they should. And we want to believe all of what these children are doing is innocent, but the sad part is it's not always going to look as innocent as the story I just told you. So they can't escape a bad text that might come through when they run to the bathroom from someone who's been bullying them. Or let's just say she did something embarrassing the night before and she's still getting messages on it on Snapchat. The teasing doesn't go away. And that's not what you need your child thinking about when they're about to walk into science, when they're about to even walk into a fun class. It will take away their mental attention until they can move past it. And they need to move past it by talking to a friend about it, by talking to another human being. And if they just go right back to the phone, it's never going to work itself out. So, school bans, yes, there's a very obvious component to it in regards to education. The average time that it takes a child to regain their attention after notification is something like 8 minutes to fully reengage. I can't remember, Sally, if we have those statistics, but they only have 45 minutes in a class, maybe an hour. And so it's just too short of a period of time to lose even 8 seconds of a child's attention to something that's absolutely irrelevant. And so there's another key area that we often hear about from parents, and gosh, this is just something nobody really wants to think about, but what a terrible reality we have is there has been gun violence at schools. And it is the worst fear for any parent, obviously. But today, and after speaking to many law enforcement, as Sally has previously explained, the consistent messaging that we receive at Smart Families is the children do not need to be on their devices. They need to be paying attention to the principal, the administrators, and the teachers who have gone through, for the most part, all schools now are required to go through a lockdown procedure in the event that something terrible happens on campus. You want your child paying attention to the parents, to the professionals, to the adults that are in the room. And so while I don't have any other supportive notice of, it will be okay, but the best thing we can do is adhere to what the professionals are recommending. And there was a mother of a child in Florida who was unfortunately a victim of a shooting many, many years ago. And she said the last text that was sent from her daughter's phone was to her saying, "Mom, I'm okay." And you would think this mother would turn around and say, "And you know what? She wasn't okay. And I'm so upset. And blah, 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 blah. Kids need access to their phones." She actually said that, "I fear that she tried so hard to get a message to me that she did not pay attention to what her teacher was telling her." And as a mom, I'm sure she's working through so much grief and pain, but that is certainly not something that you really want to add to the mix. And so, it's just difficult times, but school needs to be school. Children need to be learning, paying attention. And I'm not just talking about math, reading, and writing. It's learning how to be around their peers, learning how to talk to them. We had a school here in northern Houston that last year was a high school. They implemented their first year, no schools, no phones from bell to bell. They took video from the previous year of the children walking in the hallways and compared it to the children walking the hallways today. And they were just absolutely blown away. They did not realize how bad it had gotten. They were not able to even see how far away they got from having hallways filled of children talking to each other, looking at each other, giving them high fives, great game last night, whatever we're used to seeing in high schoolers, because that's how we grew up as adults. They did not realizing it wasn't happening anymore. They were preoccupied. They were checking their phones while standing next to their lockers getting their books. So the proof is in the pudding, and just have courage in knowing this is the best decision for your children. And if there's an administrator who happens to be listening to this, who hasn't really felt that they can make this decision yet, because I do know in private sectors that this law from bell to bell does not apply, and I absolutely respect that. We want to make sure that you truly take a look at the growth and development that high schoolers need to experience, most importantly, beyond your academics, because we all know that it's a huge part of the experience as a high schooler.
I would love to offer some my perspective from an educational standpoint, if I may. So those maybe who haven't caught any of our previous conversations with the radio station, I was an educator and worked in schools for 16 years. And so I have a little bit of a, you know, I'm very blessed to have had almost a privileged view on what phones have been doing to, especially dynamics within students. So one of the things that I've had lots of conversations about is when children were on campuses, heads in phones, it is really hard as an educator to be able to identify which of those kiddos are struggling. Because in the past, it would be maybe they sat away from their friends, they weren't engaging in conversation. You could just tell they were having a hard day. You'd pay a bit of attention to that child and you'd say, "Hey, you know, what's going on? Everything okay?" But it's so easy to disguise isolation by simply staring at a screen. Other people will think, "Oh, I'm not going to bother them. They're busy." And these children don't have, or they're not signifying to the adults, like, "Please, will you check in with me?" And so when we take the phones away, it means that educators are able to identify those kiddos. Another piece I want to share, from why I think it's just such a great standpoint for schools. So I've heard multiple situations where there has been some kind of very minimal incident on campus. Say a child, you know, bumped their head on the playground, it caused them to have a nosebleed. You know, teachers, we all go through first aid training. We know how to deal with these things. We're able to determine how severe these incidents are, and head bumps always warrant phone calls home, or if it's something else that's not a head, maybe you will make a judgment call. It might just be you'll have a conversation at the end of the school day. But what happens is children will, with devices and phones, will take it upon themselves to send a text home to say, "This happened," or maybe say there's been a falling out at school. That child goes and alerts the parent. What happens next? The parents come barreling into school. Like, I've heard, and often the principal will have no idea because it hasn't been deemed severe enough for the principal to be involved. And so what you kind of get is this undermining of authority. It's really hard when you've got mixed messages constantly going home. So just to reinstate that authority for teachers to know that important information will be relayed back to you. And this is just something I think that transparency with schools. And then the final thing I want to say, as we have been rolling out our program and our mission at all of these schools, here's something that we hear from the students. They actually like not having their phones because, I'm going to just caveat, this is a bit controversial. They don't like being contacted by their parents, primarily mom, 30 times a day. They like the breathing space. It is so important for children to learn how to solve their own problems. This is a huge skill. If they don't have the homework or they don't pick up the PE kit, don't just call home and get a parent to fix that problem for you. Be resourceful. How are they going to learn these skills if they don't have the opportunity to practice them? And so we hear this, we have kids that say, "It's wonderful. We love that we don't get bombarded with messages." And our stance really is that when it comes to pickup times and changes of schedules, one, schools will relay that information to you. They will tell you they are not going to leave a child unattended, totally alone. And, you know, kiddos can go back into a school and find a staff member and say, "My mom didn't, you know, my dad didn't come pick me up. Like, can you help me?" And they will absolutely help you. But two, if a parent is running behind and isn't able to get there on time, that's not the child's problem. I don't believe that we should be giving that responsibility to a child to sort their own scheduling issue out. You know, that's for parents and schools to do. My children attend a school that goes all the way through high school. There are no devices. My children go to school. I don't hear anything from them unless there's an issue and I need to be told. And if I have a problem, I contact the school. So I just offer myself as an example that this can be done very beautifully. I respect the school. I trust that they will let me know if they need me. And if my son has a problem in the school day, what a great learning opportunity for him. You know, he will probably not make that same mistake again because he won't want to keep encountering the same problem. So just that's kind of my insight from an educational standpoint. I think it's just such a great move. I think in a few years' time, we will look back and say, what were we thinking? Like, why were we letting these kiddos have these devices? Some of the students actually report to us they get phantom notifications, which is this incredible, like, neurological phenomenon where their brains are so conditioned to feeling vibrations that when they don't have the phones, they still feel this vibration. They still think they can feel things in their pockets because their brains are so hardwired to experiencing notifications. So, just a really great move. Like, phones do not belong in schools. They are a place for not only learning, like Hillary said, but gosh, the social opportunities. This is where they learn these things. So,
Life
I'm a,
skills.
yeah, absolutely. So, I'm a huge, huge champion of that.
And that's the way it was when we were all growing up, right?
Yes.
If you needed to call home, you had to have a dime and put it in the payphone in the hallway, or you had to go to the office and ask the
Your
office to call your mom.
yourself. That's
We
okay.
actually, just an interesting story, but again, just to show you kind of the attachment that these children have to these devices. We have a school here who was sharing with us that their policy for having a phone-free school day was that children handed in their devices and they were put in a special storage structure that they got locked away for the day. At the end of the day, the bell went, the children went and go and picked them up. Well, we were invited to come and actually watch what happened. And these children going back to pick up their devices, you would have thought they were picking up newborns from a nursery, from a daycare. They were, you know, it was like this tender, loving, you know, reunion where they were kind of holding on to this device so lovingly. And what kind of was amusing to us was also so tragic at the same time that they have led a life so attached to this device that it would elicit this huge emotional response when they were being reunited. But I'm confident, and I know as a team and as an organization, we are so confident that this will just become a very accepted norm. It's not controversial in our eyes, you know, and we're definitely on our way and we're headed in that direction.
I remember when earlier in the year when some of these discussions were going on. While the legislature was still meeting and having these conversations about no cell phones, and some of the people, that you would run into on the interwebs, just adamantly opposed, and these are grown adults, or at least I think they were, adamantly opposed to, the government telling me what I can do with my kid, and that they were going to figure out ways to get around this. And what if my kid has a problem? And what if there's an incident? There, one of the high schools here, locally, actually 2 springs ago, there was a big gang fight, and it was not a nice scene. It involved a whole heck of a lot of law enforcement, and everybody has kept using this particular incident as why they needed their kid needed to have a phone on campus. Well, what's interesting is talking to the police department after the fact. The police department, their response time to this incident was cut or was just destroyed because 90% of the reports they were getting were 100% factually incorrect. And so we have an adage in the army that the first report is usually false, but they were getting bombarded with false reports. There's a shooting over here and there's guns over there, and the police didn't know where to go because they were just getting flooded with all these 911 calls from the kids on campus who weren't even anywhere close to what was happening, but they heard from a friend of a friend of a friend, or they saw a fight or whatever, and it just And people were using this as an argument for why my kid needed to have a cell phone until they were confronted, until they were told the truth about what really happened from the police department. And I grew up in an environment in a small school. My mom and dad, I from kindergarten until 12th grade, I had one or both of my parents for every class, and I hated it. I'll be honest with you. I hated it. I hated being a teacher's kid. So I don't have that frame of reference of if something goes wrong at school, having to go to the office and call my parents. I mean, I walked down the hall and said, "Hey, mom, I forgot my lunch." And she would look at me, and I'm sure it's the same response that she would have given had I picked up the phone and called her and said, "Hey, mom, I forgot my lunch." And she kind of looked at me and she said, "I guess you're going to be hungry until you get home today, But that's that life lesson, that you're talking about that our children are missing out on.
Yeah. And
Go
I was
ahead.
going to say, even I just think there's so much value in that, and I think we can get so just drawn into the safety component, which absolutely is a very valid concern that parents have. But what we often think you should do is shift to the not what are you losing, but what are you gaining? What are we gaining? What connection? What are we teaching the children? And that's really a slippy place that people will just gravitate towards the negative. And we really want to highlight all of the incredible gains that a school, a whole community, the teaching staff, the students themselves, we just want to lift up, and empower these school groups together.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, talking about the gains. And if you don't know the answer to this question, that's okay. But do you anticipate being able to figure out or to see any kind of reports on the results 1 year later? Some of the schools, I don't know if the schools have any kind of responsibility to report any of this stuff.
So there are no legal responsibilities for a school to report the impact of a statewide or a school ban on phones. But if someone were to just Google, state ban feedback, even I think yesterday or the day before, there was an article in the New York Times. It's coming out inadvertently through opinion articles, through individual journalists who are interested in this topic. And I think the majority of the reports that I have seen, now, mind you, this is my business, right? And so my team and I scour the news for stuff like this. We are seeing positive results. We are not seeing these doom and gloom articles that are highlighting some of the terrible impact. That just doesn't exist. I mean, I think we talked about the increase of socialization. We have children who are reporting positive outcomes on it as well because they didn't realize how much they had been on it, and become reliant upon their phones for their schoolwork was actually cited in a recent article where we know that really will prevent a child from utilizing their brain for their schoolwork versus relying on what's in their pocket. And so, what parents forget is that, we may have some of these skills already developed, but our children do not. So, you really want to make sure that they're developing them while at school. So, there's no reporting requirements, but we are already seeing, even though it's only the end of September, we're a couple weeks in, some wonderful articles in the mainstream media about the positive, impact that has been happening. We also think about as an administrator, Sally, we forget as parents. Imagine what it must be like for a teacher trying to teach 16-year-olds about a very challenging topic such as algebra 2, and a child takes out their phone in the middle of your key point and checks a text message, and you're probably like, "Are you kidding me?" And this is not a rare event. This was happening over and over and over again. And so the strain it was putting on teachers and the strain it was putting on administrators is and was very real, very real. And we need to give them a lot of credit in knowing that they are making the decisions based off of what they are seeing in the classrooms, because as parents, we're not there. And they're the ones who are responsible for educating our children. If they're turning around and saying, it's not working right now, have to respect that. We have to understand that they are seeing it, they are living it, and they've come to this realization after many years now. This wasn't a decision made overnight. So, I'm glad to see that people are finding a place of peace and comfort with this.
Yeah, I think but the combination of COVID and cell phones have made a generational impact that maybe we can, this will help re turn the ship around a little bit. It's going to be like turning an aircraft carrier. It's going to take a whole lot of ocean to do it. But I think we have an opportunity here for turning things around. We got a couple minutes left here in our episode. So what's next for the Smart Families team? Where are we focusing from going forward here?
So we want parents to know that they can take action at home. And while we offer a very thorough and wonderful program, it does not stop there. And so I will say we have a plethora of resources on our website. We have online talks that are available to everybody. We're in the process of building something that parents can do with themselves, with their spouse, with their family, where they can further their own education on this topic. We've talked about it a lot today, but there's so much more, as you can only imagine. And so Smart Families is committed at this time to broaden our reach, not only by being in more schools, but by offering our content in a way where parents can learn by themselves. And then we also really want to build our program so that anybody and anywhere across the country and potentially even the globe can do this program at their school. It really takes one passionate parent, one passionate teacher, and maybe even one passionate principal to say, this is what's best, and I'm going to educate my community, and we're all going to come together. So we're in the process of building something that would allow schools to bring our program into their community in an area where we may not be able to be physically yet because we're young, we're 2 years old, and we know we're going to take over the world, but it takes time. And so those are two really exciting things that we're building here at Smart Families. And so I hope to be able to report back at the end of the school year and say, please come check these things out, please sign up, please engage, and help us spread this mission so that we can help more families.
Yeah. I think we'll have to get you guys back on maybe at the kind of the mid-year mark here and see what where things have gone, and certainly next spring at the end of the school year to see where how things are doing, how the progress is going, and what you're hearing back from the schools. I think that'll really be that to me will paint a very big picture. What you're hearing back from the teachers and the principals about the progress of our children, and then also what you're hearing back from parents about how the things have changed inside their individual houses. So, ladies, thank you very much. Incredible, incredible conversation, and very important conversation. And again, I'm going to encourage everybody, go to your website, smart-families.org. Smart-families.org. Sign up for some of these online events. Check out these resources. There is an abundance of resources for you to really kind of educate yourself on all the things that we've talked about. We've kind of hit the wave tops of everything. So it's up to you, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, to dig in there and find out the details. So thank you very much, ladies. Appreciate your effort and your time. And we will be in touch again in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. God bless everybody. And remember to put on the armor of God.